This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley. Let's dig deep and grow strong. And now, here's Jeff.
All right, we are living in a world that has been turned upside down. We see depravity on parade every day in the streets of America. They're fanning the flames of chaos and anarchy. And we are unstable as a nation. We are volatile. We are at a boiling point. And my friends, I'm here to tell you that this is going to get worse as time goes on, because the sinful nature of man is not satisfied with the current state. Satan is not satisfied. Satan has an agenda. Did you know that? That Satan is not just simply idly watching what humanity is doing. He is actively instigating and participating in the acts of humanity. And we are seeing our country in crisis. And this is exactly the reason why I wrote, almost four years ago, I wrote this book, The End of America, Bible Prophecy and a Country in Crisis. And you know what happened? This is what happened. This book came out. I finished writing this book right around the election time. And Donald Trump was elected. And the book came out shortly after that. And basically what happened is Americans, Christian Americans, breathed a sigh of relief that Hillary Clinton was not elected. Now, this is not a political rant or political post or whatever, but the positions, the political and moral positions of the Democratic Party, and particularly of Hillary Clinton at that time, are so abhorrently evil that I can't even conceive of a Christian voting in that direction. That does not mean that Donald Trump was the righteous candidate, okay? I'm not trying to paint him at all as some sort of American messiah, because that's the furthest thing from the truth. What Donald Trump did have, and what he continues to have, is a sympathetic ear and a tilt and lean towards biblical Christianity in his policies. Now, not on the whole, not in every single tiny specific area, but on the whole, he's pro-Christian. He's pro-Israel. That's a big, big deal, because the other side of the political aisle is not pro-Israel, is not pro-Christian. And so that's the only reason. But what happened is Christians sort of breathed a sigh of relief and said this. They said, oh, we're okay now. Trump's got us. Man, he's going to take care of us. He's going to be our spokesperson. And of course, you know, different birds of the evangelical tree flocked to the White House to see how quickly they could surround the president. And he has been surrounded by a couple of decent people, and the rest of the religious leaders are, well, many of them are absolute kooks. And I'm talking voodoo Christianity kind of people. I mean, weird out apostate heretics. Oh my gosh. Can I be any more clear than that? Now, all that to say is, just because Trump was elected, yeah, I think it's kind of like pressing the snooze button. I mean, in other words, you know, it's like when you press the snooze button, you get 5 more minutes of sleep or 10 more minutes or whatever. That's what we got with Trump. We just got a snooze button. And yes, we've been able to reverse some of the things that happened under the Obama administration regarding religious freedoms. But evil continues, folks. I mean, Trump is not the restrainer. Donald Trump is not the one that's holding back evil. In fact, evil has increased under him only because there's been such a vitriol hatred of him, both personally, which, you know, if you don't like a person, you don't like a person. I get that. You know, so I'm not going to defend that part. But on the other side, things about abortion and things about being a conservatively led nation, being a nation that is sympathetic to Christian values, being a nation that is wanting to protect religious freedoms of good people like Jews and Christians, and people that are worshiping the God of Israel, worshiping the God of the Bible, I mean, he's been pro on that side. So I applaud him for that. I'm not going to back down from defending him on that. I applaud him for that. For all his faults, which, what in the world do you expect? I mean, do you want John MacArthur to be president? Do you want Billy Graham to be president? You know, it's like he's gone, obviously. But you know what I'm saying? We're not going to have this huge Christian king on the throne in the Oval Office. They're going to be a politician or going to be a billionaire or someone like that. They're not going to be everything we want. So forget that part because we have a secular government. But the part that I'm saying here is that Christians really got lulled to sleep because so many Christians voted for Trump and we thought we were okay now. But evil continued. You know why? Because Christians stayed home. Because Christians sat back and said, oh, well, let's let the government do our job for us. But the government is not the restrainer. The government is not the dam holding back evil. Christians are. The Holy Spirit's influence through the church is the restraining influence in our country. And so the reason why this book is enjoying such a resurgence right now in the rankings is because people are looking at it going, whoa, this is getting pretty bad. It wasn't even this bad in 2016, the election. Wow, this is getting bad. I mean, the anarchy and the chaos and the lawlessness in our streets, and all of a sudden, these causes, these communist, Marxist, anarchist, godless causes that 10 years ago everyone would have condemned are now being promoted by not only the mainstream media, but state and city governments in major cities of our country. And a lot of it is because they really believe in these policies. The other is because they just hate our president so much. So either way, again, this is not political. This is a moral and a spiritual issue. This book, The End of America, traces our Christian roots in our country. It examines where we came from and helps us understand what in the world is going on that we have drifted so far from the foundations. How do we get here? And what can we learn in the Bible about God's relationship with Gentile nations? Because God does not have a specific covenant relationship with Gentile nations like he did with one nation, Israel. Only one nation on the planet God ever made these covenant promises to. It's Israel. And the fact that Israel is alive and exists again, officially since 1948, is testimony to the fact that not only is Bible prophecy 100% accurate, but also that we are living in the last days. So how do we, I talked about last time, a little bit about how we got on this road to abandonment, and there's so much more in the book that I explore. I talk about, is America mentioned in Bible prophecy? And my friends, you know, there were six theories of where people see America in Bible prophecy. I just said on a podcast, or excuse me, a broadcast I did with the church in Houston, that it's kind of like people see these UFO sightings, but it's America that they see in Bible prophecy, not UFOs in the sky. Oh, I saw one. I see one here. And so I explore all of those. The bottom line is that America is nowhere specifically mentioned in the last days. Why is that true? Why all of a sudden are we living in this reality where America is the most powerful, most established superpower on the planet, and then it's like she just disappears? She just, it's like, vanishes from the radar screen in Revelation. Revelation's radar screen, there's no blip for America. Why not? So part of this has something to do with the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back for his bride. And the other part of it has to do with the fact that what happens after that in a post-rapture America. And I paint the scenarios, the potential scenarios for that as well. I talk about the coming persecution that's coming to our country for Christians, for people like you and me, that we are not exempt from persecution. We are not exempt from suffering. In fact, Jesus said in John 15, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And how much more clear? That's the only verse that you really need, although there's much more about it. As Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We've just been insulated from it for 200 and something years. Because why? Because we're America. And because we were founded on Christian principles that were friendly to Christians. And we created a society that, though its people weren't necessarily godly, at least the infrastructure of our country allowed us to be godly without fear of persecution. Those days are coming to an end, my friend. We are coming into an age where if you speak up for Jesus Christ, if you really speak up for the true Christ, then you are going to be met with great hatred. And because there's no middle ground here. And one of the characteristics of the last days generation, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, is that we will have a culture of people who are brutal. They're just brutal. It says they are malicious gossips. Malicious guys. In fact, that word malicious is the same word. It's the word diabolos. We get our word devil from. It means to accuse. It's used to describe the devil in Revelation. And we're in a culture today where people will attack you verbally. And when I say verbally, I mean on social media, because that's where the interplay is happening there, the communicative interplay. And they will attack you verbally if you're a Christian. And it says that they're malicious gossips. In other words, their goal is to destroy you. They don't simply want to disagree with you. Remember the days when people would say, well, that's your opinion, I disagree. And that was like, oh, wow, it's pretty confrontive there that you would say that to me to my face. Guess what? Those nice days are over. And today, they come after you. They come after your family. They come after your reputation. They ruin you. They smear you. They put the scarlet letter on you. And the world is behind them. The spirit of the age is behind them. So, friend, you better be sure that when you speak up for Jesus or you speak out against an evil in this world, just know that evil is not just floating around in the ethosphere there. It's attached to people. It's inside people. In fact, people are the source of evil, the human heart, Jesus said in Mark 7, 21 through 23. And so when you post something that's maybe pro-marriage or anti-abortion, or you speak the biblical position on homosexuality, or you speak logic and say things like, there really is no such thing as a transgender. There's just a man acting like a woman or a woman acting like a man. But transgenderism doesn't exist. When you say stuff like that, better be sure you believe it. Because they're going to come after you. Now, they don't have any real ammunition in terms of truth, but they're going to come after you and smear you. And that's what this malicious gossips applies to in the last days. He says they're going to be revilers in our culture. And that just talks about how they just love to rant. They love to scream and to rant and to chant. And everybody's jumping on board with this thing. It says that they are irreconcilable. They're irreconcilable. In other words, there is nothing. Now, listen carefully to this. There is nothing that you can say to them that will cause them to say, you know, that's a great point. I hadn't thought about that here, and all dressed in my Antifa BLM outfit here, all black and face mask on and backpack on and throwing rocks in the street. You know what? Now that you said that, I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to become a new person. I'm going to forgive the made up lies I had against you, and we're going to be friends now. That's not going to happen. You know why? Because the Bible says they are irreconcilable. And the word literally in the Greek means no sacrifice. That's what it literally means. No libation, no sacrifice. In other words, there is no sacrifice that you could make in their presence that would cause them to say we're friends again. And all is forgiven and it's okay. I mean, getting on your knees, crawling up the steps, apologizing for your race, that didn't do it. People shining people's shoes didn't do it. Corporate Christian giants doing that to the rappers, that didn't do it. Christians being killed and white people being killed, or people of all races being killed just because you stand for all of the lives that God has created. People of all races have been killed. Has that stopped them? No, they're not satisfied. Blood wasn't enough. The shedding of blood wasn't enough. The shedding of blood was enough for God because it was the blood of his son. But the shedding of blood of people, no matter what their position, is not enough for these people. You know why? They're irreconcilable. They cannot be reconciled. It's a sad state. I mean, I admit it's a sad thing, but watch this. He goes on to say, he says they're unloving. Duh. Understatement of the decade. They're ungrateful. The word literally means to feel entitled. The word means to feel like the world owes you something. Does that describe our generation or what? The world owes you. You better give this to me. And when you give it to me, it's probably not going to be enough. I'm going to demand more. It's an extortion mentality where they extort from good people because they feel like they were owed something. But none of us are owed anything. We're not born with God or anybody else owing us anything. But they're ungrateful. That's what that word means. Unholy. The things that God calls holy and sacred, they trample upon. They burn. They denigrate. They revile. It says that they are without self-control. Meaning that their faculties are lost. It's like a car with no driver. The car is just going to careen into the crowd. They're out of control. They cannot control their own thoughts. They can't control their own emotions. It says they're reckless and treacherous and conceited, full of themselves, worshiping themselves. That's the very first word there is. In that passage, verse 2, lovers of self. Then it says haters of good. And eventually it says lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The bottom line for these last days people that the Bible's describing here, ultimately, this is what it means. Ultimately, it's not about you. It's not about race. It's not about injustice. It's not about abortion or women's rights. It's not about homosexuality. It's not about a political type of government, whether that be Marxist or communist. Even though all these things are bound up in there, really what it's all about, when you strip it all away, the discerning believer can understand this is about the fact that they hate God. They hate God. They hate him like Satan hates him. And Satan's number one goal, other than himself to be worshipped, is to cause people to hate God. And these people are so full of sin and self and Satan that it just spews out in a hatred against everything that God says is good, everything God says is noble and pure and honorable, the principles of justice and righteousness, all those things. They hate those things. And they come up with their own darkened, futile methods to try to, quote unquote, right the wrongs that they see in our world. But see, their self-sin-filled heart won't even let them pursue the good things in that. And it turns to violence and hatred and all these things. Why do I tell you this stuff? I tell you this because this is the America we're living in right now. And this is why the Bible speaks to it. And speaks to us right now. And next time I'm going to talk about how we can begin to turn this thing as individual Christians and begin to make a difference in our country if we can. But it's going to be up to you, and you're going to want to know what to do. You love this country? You love where you live? Then listen in on the next podcast. We'll talk more about that. Hey, thanks for listening. And hey, listen, get a copy of this book, The End of America.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.